First Timothy, back there again, just briefly. Got a couple loose ends we need to tie up. And then, Lord willing, we're looking at the word, two words, and follow. But let's look in 1 Timothy 6 again, and just read the one verse. When I know we're familiar with it now, we don't want to cut it short, but we have been looking at it in some detail. So let's just read verse number 11, and maybe let's just read it together, shall we? So 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to read together verse 11, starting in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we commit ourselves to you, Lord, knowing that you have all the answers for us in your word that we need. Lord, it's not going to come from my mouth, it's not going to come from your word. Lord, trust what it's doing. Let it be enlightened with some things that we have to get looked at yet. Lord, I pray for every young person here, Lord. I don't know the heart stored up to this point, I won't have it in the future, but we're going to know it for eternity. So we're able to work just as they need at this point in life. Lord, maybe there's some still at that point where they're not quite sure. Lord, there's some that have made some wonderful decisions already. I pray, Lord, this is going to help them, strengthen them. Lord, maybe someone here, maybe one or more, can say, look, I'm still not at that point, I'm saved yet. I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Maybe something was said that encouraged them, Lord, to repent, return from their sins. Lord, by faith, believe the gospel. Died for them, paid the price for this, buried and rose again, now says the wall, this where the will may come. Pray, Father, that you would work in every heart and mind, we pray. Lord, I pray for grace, just the boldness to preach your word in the way. Amen. Alright, we've looked at what we need to flee from. We've looked what fleeing is. And part of fleeing and part of following, I don't know how we're going to tackle this, how we're going to fit it in, but I think it's necessary. Right, let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Let's go there first. Luke 11. And there's a principle here I want you to consider, because often what I am concerned happens, and this is by personal experience as well as observation, that there are times like this where you are inundated with a lot of information and being challenged, and at some point you've made some decisions to do some things, and at that point you are very vulnerable. Okay, you're very vulnerable, because if you don't know what to do next, then it will only be a matter of time before you go back to where you were. Okay, you understand that. Well, let's have a look at Luke 11, because in my experience what you go back to is generally worse, right? So Luke 11, I'm going to read just a few verses, 24 verse 2 to 26. Verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I come out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Okay, what I want to just briefly talk about, preach to you about, is the principle of replacing. You see, there's a bunch of things in your life and in my life that God will challenge us on. No doubt in my mind that you young people have been challenged. And there's no doubt in my mind that you're genuine as well. You're serious. But it's one thing to be serious about getting rid of something. It's another thing to be able to put something back in its place. Okay, now the principle here is this. There's an individual who has this devil, and this devil gets kicked out, and he's wandering around, can't find anywhere else to find residence, so he goes back, and notice what it says about this individual. What is the condition when he comes back? It's swept and it's garnished. Very clean, but it's not full of anything. You see, you will have been challenged that there are things in your life that you need to deal with, you need to get rid of. But unless you have some sort of a plan and a strategy of what you're going to put in its place, then it will only be a short amount of time before what you got rid of will come back, and it will come back with vengeance. I remember talking to a young man about some things in his life. I'm not going to say who it was, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I will give you enough detail so you can understand the seriousness of it. He was involved in some sexual things of what we would call a introductory level. And I remember talking to him about it, sitting down, and saying to him, look, you need to deal with this thing. You need to get rid of this out of your life. This is sinful. These lusts, these passions, these thoughts, these things that are in your life, you need to deal with it, you need to get rid of it. And he was emotional, and he was agreeing, and he was saying, yes, I need to do this, I need to sort these things out of my life, it's wrong, it's sin. He identified it, and best I know, he repented of it, and he turned from it. But what he didn't do was he failed to put into place some things in his life to fill that void. You see, you have desires for either one of two things. You either have desires for the things of this world and the things that appeal to you, or you have desires which are spiritual and pertain to God. You know, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. And there seems to be, and from my experience and from just watching this young man, he was prepared to deal with it and get rid of it because he hated it. He wanted to do what was right. But instead of, as it were, following after something, he fled from something, but he got to a bit of a crossroads. What do I do now? I'm sorry to have to say that that individual went off into more. And more, and more, and more, till it was not just the initial things that you get involved that will start you on that path, but he ended up fulfilling the lust thereof, and completely destroyed what he could have had. Okay? So, whatever these things, it may be something that has to do with your time. That's a pretty classic example of things that you young people are dealing with. Your time management. Your time is being spent for you right now instead of being spent for the Lord. You get challenged about that, you say, Lord, I need to, as it were, flee from those things that are taking up that time, and now what? Well, let me encourage you to find things to fill in the time that are going to be honoring to the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that if, you know, you've got perhaps five hours of game playing a day, that you need to switch that from 5 hours to just reading the Word of God. That may be difficult, I understand that. But you need to talk to some of those around you, and you need to ask them, look, what do I do? Okay, I've got rid of this thing in my life, which is a problem. Now what do I do? What can I put back in its place? Because young person, and even older person, if you don't replace it with something that is godly, what was evil will come back and will whip you. It can't be empty. Your life has to be full of something. It needs to be full of what you're doing for God. It needs to be full of the things which are spiritual. And this individual, yes, he got rid of that evil spirit. And no doubt there's been a number of you who've got rid of that which is evil during this week. But don't just leave the house swept and garnished. Replace it with something. Because otherwise he'll come back and he'll have seven others. And those seven others will be worse than the one you had. And the end will be worse than what you thought. Okay, so I just wanted to encourage you with that thought. It's kind of a bit of an add-on, I understand that, but I do believe it's a problem. I believe it's a huge problem. It's a perfect opportunity to just, yes, we're going to get serious with the Lord, and next week you'll be about right for a day or two, and then everything will come back again. And it shouldn't be that way. It oughtn't be that way. It should be a bit more, okay, so I'm finished with this, now I'm following after. What am I going to do now? Okay, you need to start replacing some things. Alright, let's go back to 1 Timothy 6. And to be honest with you, this is a topic, following after is a topic which you could have a whole camp and more just on that. Okay, so I apologize for the fact we've covered so much. It's a broad topic. I hope that I've given you and the men of God here that have given you some things that you can take away. Some of these things you're going to have to work out for yourself. You can't rely on your preacher to work it all out for you. I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just being honest with you. You need to get serious with God for yourself. But we're going to try and help you with some things that are practical. And he says in verse 11 again, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Now let me say this. It's as much of a choice to flee as it is to follow. So that's pretty basic. Well, some people choose to flee, but they don't choose to follow after. It's a choice. You make a choice that, yes, I'm going to flee sin, and yes, I'm going to follow after these things which we're going to look at. Maybe not at now, but we're going to have a look at them at some stage. But we want to look at this principle of following after. You know, often in Scripture you will find that there's a negative, but it's immediately followed by a positive. Flee, but follow. In Ephesians chapter 4 it says, "And that you put off the old man." And then it says that you need to what? Put on the new man. You see, it's one thing to put something off, but then that replace, you've got to put something back in its place. And not every time, it's not exclusive, but many times in Scriptures you'll find that God says you need to stop this and start this. Okay? It's a principle. We often just reach a point where we get rid of it but don't replace. So as much as it is a choice to flee from sin, it is a choice to follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness. And we're going to look at some of those things maybe later on. But putting off, putting on, fleeing, following, all those things we need to consider when we're making our choice. And most of the time, we do this based on how we feel about it. You do it how you feel. You know, this idea of following is not to be feelings driven. It won't get you very far. You might feel like at this camp that you want to follow after God. But when you get home on Friday afternoon, you may not feel like it. And too many of us, I'll include myself, I still feel young. Feel, okay. Don't go by feelings, my age says something different. But we literally have this idea in our heads that we have to rely on how we feel about it before we can go ahead with it. That's not Bible. That's worldly wisdom. You know why most people are out there doing their own thing? Because that's what they feel like doing. doing. That's what they feel like doing. What's the common phrase you hear? If it feels good, do it. That's how people live their life. They live their lives entirely by how they feel. And sadly, many Christians fall in that category. Why do they go church hop every Sunday? Or every 6 months? Because the feelings, they left. They lost. Like, I didn't feel like going to that church anymore. We feel like going somewhere else. That's worldly wisdom. You see, what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ should have nothing to do with how you feel about it. Now, I trust and pray you feel like doing it. But that's not the test of whether it's the right thing to do. I have found the things that I least wanted to do have been the things that I should have done most of the time. Now, I'm going to be honest, there are times when I just feel like getting out of bed, and I feel like opening my Bible, and I feel like praying. But I want to be honest and be quite blunt with you, that is not what you should expect. Because if you expect that, you're coming to God in the wrong way. You know, ours is supposed to be a life of faith, not a feeling. You see, and when you just rely on your feelings, how you feel about it, you'll end up who knows where. I can guarantee it won't be a good place. Because the flesh is tied up with your feelings. Don't rely on it. You feel like doing the right thing, praise God you do. But if you don't feel like it, doesn't matter, you still do it anyway. And some of the things you've heard preached from Pastor O and Pastor Brad, you didn't feel like doing that. You didn't feel like being in submission, in subordination. I don't know anybody alive who's honest who would say this: I just get up in the morning and I feel like submitting to God's authority. I feel like it. Well, if you feel like that, you're weird. Because I don't feel like that. But you know why I do submit? Because I know it's right to do. Regardless of how you feel about things, it's irrelevant. You want to read about a nation that has run by feelings and read the book of Exodus through Deuteronomy. And then on through the Old Testament, you'll find a nation called the nation of Israel. And they predominantly live in the realm of feelings. And if you're just going to live your life based on your feelings, the destination's not good. Look where they ended up. They ended up in bondage. They ended up in captivity. You go by your feelings, you'll get ensnared in something, you become addicted to something, and then once it's there, who knows what happens after that. Your feelings, they're wonderful things, but don't let it control you when it comes to making decisions whether you're going to follow after. So where does it start? Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 5. It starts by a choice. You know, God's not going to make you do it. You understand that? He wants you to choose to do it. You know the verse well. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. We've all read it. Yes, that's a good thing, you've got to choose. But when it comes to us making the choice, well, I'd like someone else to make it for me. Mum, what should I do? Dad, what should I do? Pastor, what should I do? Young person, you work it out. You're going to choose to do it or not with regards to what they say. Okay? You're going to make a choice. Let's have a look in Deuteronomy 5. Read verse 1. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Statutes and judgments. Do you like the sound of that? How about games? How about fun times? How about holidaying? We like the sound of that. He didn't say that. He said it's statutes. That's pretty solid. judgment. That's pretty heavy. He said, what I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them. First of all, you've got to hear. Now to hear, you've got to be willing. Willing to hear. You know, not many people are willing to listen. They may give the impression that they're listening, but are they really willing to hear? You know, when someone pulls you aside and says, look, I need to talk to you, yeah, what do you want? That's not willing. Okay, you heard, but you're not hearing. And there's a big difference. It's one thing to, yep, I got what, I got it, and then another thing, no, I heard what you said. You know, when you hear, you need to give some attention. Give some attention to it. The Lord Jesus could say, hearing they what? Hear not. And seeing they see not. What? They didn't give him his attention. No attention. When the preacher gets up, your pastor, or anyone else, you ought to give him some attention. And I'm appreciative of the attention that you've given this week. And I commend you for it. But we ought to be able to say, look, I'm going to give attention to what God tells me. You see, if you don't give attention, you might miss something. That's the problem. You might miss something. And you see, every detail is important when it comes to following God. It's not okay just to be round about, close enough, she'll be right, mate. Now, you want to be spot on with what God wants to tell you. You see, the difference between hearing Him correctly and hearing Him partially could change the whole direction of your life. You want to get it straight. So there's a willingness to hear which requires attention. Then, he says you need to learn them. You know, to learn something has the idea of to accustom oneself, to familiarize oneself with it. So once you've been willing to hear, it's been demonstrated by your attentiveness, and then there needs to be an accustomizing or familiarizing yourself with what God wants you to do. You know, if you're anything like me, you need to hear things more than once. You need to read something more than once. I need to hear people's name 100 times before I met. You know what I'm saying? You need to familiarize yourself with it. You're going to follow after something. You want to know exactly what by paying attention, and then you want to know the detail, and you want to be familiarized with it. It's important. We don't just say things just for the sake of saying things. There's a reason behind it. You see, the reason why your pastor gives you counsel and your parents will give you counsel and people that are in authority will talk to you and encourage, the reason why they do is they want to familiarize you with what God would have you do. Now, they're not going to give you specific as far as everything that God would have you do, but there are general things that apply to every one of us that we all need to know what they are. They're statutes, they're judgments, And they apply to the whole nation of Israel. Isn't that interesting? Every one of them that heard it, it applied to them. Now, it may apply in different ways, but it all applied, didn't it? He said, you have to hear, you have to learn, and you have to keep. So you familiarize yourself, then you retain it. You don't let it go. What did Paul say? He said, hold fast to that which is good. That sounds like retaining. Hey, if you've heard something that God's spoken to you this week, you retain it, you keep it. Don't let it go. Doesn't matter who's preached it. Doesn't matter whose mouth it's come from. You need to retain it. You need to keep it. And I appreciate that every one of you here has shown diligence when it comes to writing things down. Even when it comes to things that God is challenging you on, that's important, young person. It's important that you retain it. Because the devil will try and fill your mind, and he'll try and take away your attention, and by God's grace, somehow he'll get your attention, and you go back to what you heard, what you learned, and what you kept, what you wrote down. And you'll be saying, yes, that's right, I retained that. Camp weeks are the easiest weeks of your life in this regard. You're separated from the pressures, from the world, and from mostly the devil's attempts to sideline you. I know he's active, but I believe in that when people get together and pray and fast and seek God's face, there's a hedge protection about the place. I don't believe that. And he doesn't have access to you like we will at home. I wouldn't pray and I wouldn't fast if I didn't believe that. So you're under a bit of an umbrella here. It's true. God's speaking to you about things, willing to hear. You're going to learn them, you're going to keep them, and notice the last things, and do them. You see, if you just heard, if you just familiarized yourself with it, if you just kept it but never did it, it was the same as if you never really heard it. I'm trying to make this as simple so that I can understand it and you can understand it. Following after is this: hearing, learning, keeping, and doing. That's what following after is. And let me say this: if you're not prepared to obey, then you won't hear it right either. Have you ever been like that, where you have to hear it, you've got to sit in church, obviously, but you've already made up your mind, I'm not going to obey, and you hear it in such a way that it's not even right. And you're critical of the preacher, you're critical of your mum and dad. Why? Because you didn't want to hear it. You didn't want to obey it. How do you know? I've been there. You've been there. This is emphasized throughout this chapter. And in verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will what? Hear it and do it. Yeah? Hear it and do it. But as for thee, in verse 31, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may what? Do them. One's a willingness to hear, the other's a willingness to obey. But verse 31 through verse 33, I'll read the rest of the chapter. It says, ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Willingness to obey, but commitment to continue. It sounded like a good idea at camp. And I agree. Yes, I decided. And for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, yes, we heard, and every time we heard, we obeyed. But often there's not a lot of longevity in people's decisions. It doesn't last. Why is that? I've often asked the question to myself, why is it that we make decisions for the Lord and then we go for a little while, and then 2 months, 3 months, 4 months later, we're back to where we started? Why is that? Most pastors here would be, yep, you've seen it. Someone's there for a year or two and then they're gone. You know what a lot of our commitment is based on? It's based on, as long as it's all gone my way. As long as it's not too hard.
As long as I don't have to stop this. As long as I don't have to stop. Almost without exception. When someone drops the ball, they can point to an exact moment in their life when it happened. You know that individual I was talking about the other night, the guy who got off and all kinds of stuff, drugs out, all that kind of stuff. You know the one I was talking about? I sat down with him a little while after it was all messed up, and he was still talking. And I asked him, I said, where did it all go wrong? Just, can you tell me? And he looked at me and he said, there's one thing. I won't tell you what it was, but there's one thing. And he said, at that point is when I fell away very, very rapidly. You see, we make all the decisions here, and we get serious with God now, and we say we're going to do it. But you know what? Sadly, we write this little bit of fine print at the bottom, and it says, unless this happens. Unless this happens. And you'll get by fine for a bit. You may even last a couple of years. But mark it down. If that little bit of fine print was left there and you haven't taken care of that, that thing will come back. It'll come back. It does every time. Every time. You know, things like, you know, okay, let's use examples because it's practical. Your job. I'll follow the Lord and I'll do exactly what He wants me to do. I will hear, I will learn, I will keep, I will do, as long as it doesn't affect my work. You see, I've got this job that I really like. It's a good job. You say, how do you know that happens? Because it's happened to me. I remember at 3 o'clock in the morning, waking up, and God was speaking to me in such a way, I sat up in my bed. And I had this internal struggle going on within me about my job. And I liked my job. I enjoyed what I was able to do with my job. And it was like the Lord said to me, I want your job. And I wasn't going to do my job. And I'm thankful that God spoke to me in such a way that eventually, after about an hour of struggling with it, I said, Lord, you can have my job. My wife woke up. I was crying. She said, what's wrong? I said, it's all right. I just need something to God. Sometimes things are going to come in your life that God wants to have. It's not sinful, but He wants to have it. But you've got this fine print in your life which says, until this happens, or until He wants this, or until He asks me to do that. And we'll go to a point, and we're committed to a point, but as soon as it gets to that point, we're done. And it seems to be a very quick falling away. I don't know why, but it happens. I don't know what your future is in ahead of you. Only God knows that. For some of you young men, I would dare to believe that God's got His hand upon your life and He's going to call you to the ministry. You come from some pretty good stock. I don't say that to make you feel proud or feel good about yourself, but you have been blessed with an incredible blessing to have grown up in this kind of an environment. And the spiritual input that you've had from your peers, your pastor, your parents, are second to none. And yet for some of you, the good job will take precedence over the pulpit. God says, I want you, young man, I want you to stand up, I want you to preach the word of God. I'm not going to guarantee you anything other than this. I'll be with you as you go. And you say, well, I don't think I can do that. Better put that in my contract. I'm committed unless He asks me to do that. I don't know if God's called you during this camp. He may have. There's enough young men here for God to be busy. He can be busy with one. But if you would say, Lord, no matter what, whether it's preaching, whether it's my job, you know what? That's what we call commitment. That's true commitment. This commitment which says, well, I'll do it up to a point, that's not real. It's kind of a pseudo commitment. You feel good about it because, hey, we went forward, we cried, we surrendered, and we're now ready. But you have these little things there still. See, God wants absolutely everything that you are, that you have, that you want to be, and everything in between. And unless we come to Him with that kind of an attitude, the following will be short-lived. Young ladies, I don't know. Maybe God's called you to do something. Maybe you're still praying about it. But if you got in there, look, I'll follow the Lord unless He takes this away. Or if I can't marry that guy. Or if I'm being serious, some girls would put that in the contract. I'll follow the Lord as long as I can have Him for my husband. We put some silly things in contracts. We put some foolish fine print in. And we think that we can hold God accountable to our decision. You kid yourself. God doesn't work that way. What does it say in Romans chapter 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing mind, and prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But until it's a holy, presentable, given sacrifice with no fine print, you will not know the perfect will of God. You can desire to follow as much as you like, you'll get lost along the way. See, it starts with 100% commitment. That's why I guess I'm stressing this thing, commitment, surrender, what do you want to call it? Because the deception in our hearts is there. We are so wicked inside. We think so many things. We convince ourselves of so many things, but when it gets serious, we bail. We're out of there. We live in a country where you don't suffer much persecution yet, but based on the current trend of events, it won't be long before you do. I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet. I'm just stating that's what happens. When a country turns against God in principle, you can expect greater persecution. Where do we stand then? Let's just suppose for a moment that every person here over the age of 21 was taken out of the room and you were left to fend for yourself. Would there still be that commitment? Are you following the footsteps of your mum and dad? Are you following the footsteps of your pastor? Now, I'm all for following where they follow Christ, but you need to have that commitment for yourself. You see, it doesn't last when you get out there. It won't help you when you're on your own. Unless you've gotten to that point where by God's grace, you've bowed the proud knee and said, Lord, everything is yours. It's a full surrender, full commitment. Now, I understand what I surrender now will be different than what I would surrender in a year's time. I'll explain what I mean. In a year's time, I'll understand a little more what surrender is. Do you understand what I mean? So you might think, oh, I'm surrendered. To the best of my ability, all I know, and there is no fine print, whatever that may be. You understand? But in 12 months' time, you'll be looking at your life going, that there probably is something I should have. You know what that's called? That's called maturing. That's called growing in the Lord. And that's perfectly fine. Don't worry about what you should be in 12 months. Worry about what you should be right now. And based on the evidence of this week, based on the things that we've looked at together, where are you at? Has your body been presented to the Lord this week? This morning, when you got up, did you say, Lord, I'm all yours today? You say, do you do that? I like to do that. It reminds me of my place. Don't just assume because you surrendered last camp that's the same today, or if you surrendered yesterday, well, you don't have to ask the Lord for help. You need to do it every day. It should be a life of submission to God. No fine print. No, well, Lord, about 2:30 I've got plans, so I'll just take a rain check and I'll be back after that. It's not full surrender. And this following business is very, very simple, but at the same time it's very, very serious. Are you right now before the Lord, if we were to say, right, we're going to have every eye closed, every head bowed, and the Lord was here in person, and you were sitting there, and he was going to pass up and down every road, and those who were submitted would take you by the hand, so come follow me, and he takes that door, follow me. How many of us will be left seated with a hand up waiting to be taken? I'm surrendered. Wait for it. Are you really? You grab your hand and say, son, can you wait? I know you're surrendered. You say to your daughter, come to me. I can tell you're surrendered. You know, it'd be pretty sad if you're left sitting here with something you were hanging on to. Saying, yes, I want to follow. But there's no greater joy than following the Lord and following after his things. It's a hard life in the sense. You're going to come up against some things that you probably wish you never went through. You're going to come up against some things that you wish that you'd never seen. You're going to come against things you wish you'd never thought. You'll get to a place in your life where you will, one day, I guarantee you, you will sit there and you'll say, is there a God who loves me? Is there a God who even cares for me? Have you been there? I've been there. It's a horrible place. But when the Lord's there, and you look back on it, it's been a wonderful thing. To see where he gets you out of the clay, pulls you back up on that rock and slips off. This is my people. You need to examine your heart. I don't know what's in there. We could have a questionnaire and I still wouldn't know what's in your heart. But how about we have a time of prayer? And let me ask you this. Would you be prepared to say, Lord, please examine my heart for me? And just put it out in the open. Say, Lord, have I got things written up in my little contract with you that I'm holding back and I'm not prepared just yet to let you have? Would you be prepared this morning to say, look, Lord, it's all yours. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. Maybe you've got something to write down in your book. I'm not sure. But be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, please examine my heart. Just show me things. I thought I was surrendered, but now that I think about it, there's a couple little things there. Things that I thought I could keep covered. No one knew about them. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a career you're looking at. Maybe, young man, you have been spoken to by the Lord and he's saying to you, look, young man, I want you to preach. Maybe he's saying, I want you in full time service somewhere. I want you helping your pastor. I want you helping your youth pastor. Maybe, young lady, you've been called and the Lord's saying to you, look, I want you in the crèche. I want you helping the young ladies. I want you to be praying. I want you to know what it is to intercede for loss. Look, Australia's gone to hell by the droves. And we're wondering whether we should have this fine print in our life or not. Don't hold out, God. Just lay it at his feet. Say, Lord, I'm giving it to you best I know how.